my great-grandfather helped found West Yellowstone, and he would deliver the mail on skis and ski into the park. And both of my grandparents are really into skiing. My grandfather, Wally, was instrumental in helping get Bridger Bowl going, and we skied as a family every year at Big Sky during the holidays. And so I just grew up in a ski family. My mom skied with me when she was pregnant with me. She skied, and as soon as I was out into the world, they would take me in the backpack because I have two older siblings who love to ski as well. And my dad's parents actually started two small ski resorts that are no longer around, but in Utah, where he grew up in the Salt Lake area. So it's a huge part of my family.
You started skiing competitively, I think, when you were around 12, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was at Bridger?
It was, yeah. I joined the Bridger Freestyle Ski Team with Mike Papke, and I trained with him for 8 years.
And learned all the essential fundamentals for competitive skiing. Of course, you could pick any sort of category, but how did you pick freestyle moguls? Why does that appeal to you?
You know, it's sort of a funny story. We would ski at Big Sky as a family a lot, and there's a run there called Mad Wolf, and it's just a full run of moguls. And I always loved it. My friend Tyler and I would go up there, and we would just beg our parents to take us down there one more time. And then we'd ask them again and ask them again and totally wear them out. So I always loved mogul skiing. I was a gymnast, and that was 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. So when I was done with gymnastics, I think my parents both kind of didn't really know what to do with me. I hadn't done a whole lot of other sports, and all of a sudden I had a lot of free time. And they thought that I would really like aerials, but they don't have an aerial program here. So they signed me up for moguls, and I'm so glad they did because I just absolutely love to ski. And I was terrible at it at first. I was really scared of jumping and actually went around the airs for the whole first year, where now jumping is really my strong suit and what I'm known for in the sport. So it's sort of ironic.
And what caused that change? How did you overcome your fear?
I think it was, you know, systematically just really working on it. Mike Papke was an incredibly patient coach. He also, I remember, he finally made me go bigger by he and one other coach standing in the transition of the jump and saying, well, you're going to have to go straight or you're going to hit us. And so I finally, I think, they chopped the landing, and I finally made the chop. I went big enough to land on the chop and realized that it felt much better to go bigger. But then also they allowed inverted tricks in 2003, and I love flipping. That's when my gymnastics, I think, really kind of kicked in, benefiting me in the sport, and as soon as I could go upside down, I started jumping much better.
In 2010, you qualified for the Vancouver Olympics, and that was a surprise. You really weren't expecting to make the team then, right?
Right. It was really a fairy tale season for me. I finished 2009 unfunded on the North American Tour Series instead of the World Cup, and I didn't have World Cup starts heading into the Olympic year, and you qualify by the World Cup. So I was pretty disappointed at the end of the 2009 season. I was stressed financially, and I wasn't enjoying myself very much. I was letting myself just be way too stressed and take it really seriously. And I started working with a mental strength coach, which helped a lot. I decided in May of 2009, it sounds sort of cheesy, but I realized that I had never really believed in myself fully. I had always said, I will get there someday if I just keep working. I was always willing to work hard, but I wasn't really believing in myself and performing to my abilities. So I made this commitment in May that I would just believe in myself. I started every workout saying, I believe. I pushed into every single course training saying the same thing. I had a necklace that had believe on it as a reminder. And I went from 27th to second in the world in less than 2 months. So it was this amazing fairy tale in 2010.
And confidence is a huge part of your sport, or of any sport at an elite level. You have to believe, right?
Yeah, you really do. I think that by the time you get to this level, there's a lot of people with very similar skills. We've all worked hard. We're all physically fit. And it really comes down to your mental game, I believe.
In 2010, you were in third place heading into the final. And tell me what happened on that last run.
Man, it was devastating. It was a really hard experience for me. I mean, how can you complain about going to the Olympics? It was incredible, and it was such an honor to be there, and I still get goosebumps talking about it, thinking about walking into opening ceremonies and just the impact and the power of the Olympics. It's incredible. But my coach and I had decided that no matter what, I was going to go for it. And at that point, I was sort of, you know, borderline top five, can podium if I'm pushing myself a little beyond my comfort zone. So I really went for it. Honestly, it's one of the best runs of my life still until that bottom air. I skied so fast. I was in such great control at a higher speed than I'm used to, and I had no idea how big I was going. So I hit that bottom air, and I went, I don't want to say too big because I don't really believe in that, but for how I set my rotation, I went too big and I crashed on my back flip. So I'm really proud of myself for going for it. I left nothing on the table that day, but it was disappointing for sure, and I felt like I let a lot of people down, which I know everybody says is not the case, but I felt that way.
That's the fine line, isn't it, is how far to push and knowing when to push the limit. That's really separates the winners from the losers often, and it's a very fine line, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And, you know, I have very few regrets in my career. The runs that I end up regretting in competition are the ones that I accidentally held back. I feel like if you qualify for the Olympics, at the very most, between both of your competition runs, because there was two runs during the 2010 Games, now there's several more runs, but it's less than 1 minute of your life. And you've trained so hard. And for me, I look at it as, how do I not go for it? That's the whole thing that inspires me when I watch other Olympians at the Games from any country. It's that you bring together the world to celebrate human potential and to really see people on the edge of their abilities. And that's what I believe in. That's what pushes me in the sport. So maybe it's probably one of my greatest strengths and can be a weakness as well, that I am incredibly passionate about what I do, and I don't back down.
You're known for what's called a D-spin. Tell our listeners what that is.
So a D-spin is an off-axis 720. So it's Johnny Mosley really made it popular in the 2002 Olympics, and it's one where you take off and you end up horizontal to the ground, for the apex of the trick. It's so much fun, and you can really because you're tucking your knees in, you can go pretty big and adjust your air really pretty well.
I hear that you wear a Montana belt buckle.
I do, yes. So I actually, the last year that I was in the Northern Division, I won the overall for the women, and I got a belt buckle. And I have skied with it every single day since. And then after the 2010 Olympics, one of my coaches hand tools leather belts, and he made me a belt that has the Made in Montana logo on it and the Olympic rings and my nickname McFly. And I'm so proud of where I'm from. I feel like it's a really unique and amazing place, and it helps me a lot to carry it with me.
You mentioned earlier how important the Olympic experience is, and you said, quote, how amazing it feels to be a part of something so positive in this world.
Yeah, and I think that as much as I feel like there's a patriotic pride within individual countries, and you do the medal count per country and all of that, which I do think is great, that's a powerful experience in itself. But another thing that I love about the Olympics is the thought of the whole world, right, that you can watch an athlete from any country and you see them on, you know, really in that zone or that flow state, whatever you call it, and you watch this amazing moment in their lives. And it's something that it's hard to even define, but for me at least, it lights this spark in me that I carry into other things, that kind of all walks of life. It just brings you this joy of seeing someone work and push so hard and achieve this art form, basically, in their sport.
Well, we certainly here in Montana hope we get to see you do your art form in Sochi. I have been speaking with Heather McPhee, who's the national freestyle mogul ski champion and hoping to head to the Sochi Olympics this winter. Heather, just a pleasure to talk with you about your sport and your passion for it, and just wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time and helping spread the word, and I love the support.